futures now up 160 points. Looks like the Dow is heading into very positive territory, back over 35,000. Where do we go, though? I was in the store yesterday, the farm store. I'm just going to pick up a little feed for the chickens. It's gone up 35% or 40% just in the last week. I'm like, it's chicken feed. Well, chicken feed isn't what it used to be. Craig Stiles is here, financial advisor, managing director at Ameriprise Financial Services. Craig, always good to see you.
Good to see you too, Steve. I hope you saw those new baby chickens too as well. So,
you know, I
gotta feed the baby chickens too.
Yeah, I don't buy the babies in the summertime. Those are a spring project. You know, you got to keep the kids focused where they need to be. But I was really shocked. Honestly, it had gone from about 11 or 12 bucks to 15 bucks, and it's just in the last week. And I'm like, really?
Yep.
But this follows suit for gasoline, lumber, steak, used cars. Everywhere I look, everything's more expensive. And so to you, I say, how do you invest in an environment where you don't know where inflation's going and it could get worse?
Well, you're addressing kind of another issue that I was talking about or actually reading about in Reuters and talked with several clients about. James Bullard is one of the presidents of the Federal Reserve. And one of the things that he talks about right now with the Federal Reserve having a balance is the growth and inflation at the same time. We're starting to see both growth occurring within the markets and the economies, and we're starting to see an inflation rise. And so they're looking at new ways of how to deal with it, because it's something that's rather unprecedented, in having a kind of a dovish view of the federal policies. And are they going to be comfortable with maintaining higher levels of inflation in order to try to stem the growth of the economy in some form or another?
Sure.
That is something I think is kind of the unprecedented part that they're talking about. So from the investment standpoint, if a person's on strictly fixed income, if they're on Social Security or pension, they have that fixed income that has a cost of living adjustment that gets applied to it in some form or another. For those who have additional investments, who have been saving for several years, those assets, once they get invested, is how we're basically offsetting that of what the inflationary pressures occur. Because we have a mixture of clients in regards to what assets do they have, how are we investing that going forward to stem this inflation growth.
Sure. I want to go back to an article. It was published May 2020 in USA Today real quickly. The headline, yep. U.S. is printing money to help save the economy from the COVID-19 crisis. Some wonder how far it can go. We've been printing money ever since for the last year and a half.
Yeah.
And more and more, my dollar isn't worth what it was worth yesterday. And that's the frightening thing, right?
All right. And that's why when we go through about the investment side, there's opportunities basically in every type of economic market or cycle that we find ourselves in. So the aspect of looking for a strategy that's looking for those particular opportunities, that's where we're finding the growth. So during the pandemic, traditional companies that people feared and didn't want to be a part of, typically technology type companies, because they're the most volatile, are the ones that perform the best, because as we're working more from home, as we're working more isolated from individuals, we need technology to kind of keep us all connected. You've seen companies such as Zoom grow past the size of IBM in a very short period of time. Why was that driven that way? It's because people started seeing that technology, recognizing as an opportunity, and we're buying into it. The same thing is looking at, basically the same thing's occurring in quite a bit of new technology. So as the pandemic has been progressing, as there has been other type of issues going on, we see growth opportunities. So there's a lot of new technologies out there that are presented. The question is, do we want to be involved in them from an investment standpoint? And do we want to have, more specifically, how much of it do we want to have as a part of the portfolios? So usually when we address this, we take a look at some companies that have been around for a while and how are they participating in this new growth. Just kind of use cannabis as an example. We knew cannabis with regulations becoming more capable. Are we going to buy into the new cannabis companies, or are we going to purchase more like pharmaceutical companies that have been around for a while that are starting to get into that area of business? So those are the ways in which we're trying to play the new technology and how it's getting exposed to our clients' portfolios.
Sure. And obviously this all plays into the decisions made. But for a lot of people, I think that their eyes just get bleary, and they just go, honestly, that's why I'm one of them. because you see all these headlines and you get, I guess you get swamped. The boat gets swamped, for lack of a better term. And that's why having somebody like you to kind of talk me down off the water tower and make sure that everything's okay, right? That's important. Just level-headed thinking, but being cognitive of, I mean, this all this money being printed does have an impact. All these things are happening does have an impact, but you've got to be clear-minded about it. Is that fair to say?
Yep. Absolutely. And that's, I think, probably the most of my conversation. I know a lot of our conversations that we have here is very high level. We talk about what's going on from a 30,000-mile view, and what does that ultimately mean for when I start making a recommendation of a particular product or investment strategy within a client's portfolio. We have to bring that down to an area that, like, you're comfortable with or that another client's comfortable with, and how does that play into it? But again, a lot of business owners, their largest investment is their business. So how do we go about complementing? And as you kind of highlighted, yes, you recognize inflation in chicken feed, but as a business owner, you're also seeing inflation in other aspects of your business. So how do you counteract that? And how do you go about building your overall net worth within your business and maintaining that for many years to come, not only for yourself, but also for your employees?
Well, there you go. These are things you have to take a look at. This is why we have to keep considering these things and keep people like Craig Stiles on speed dial. See, Craig Stiles, speed dial. You see how that rhymed? See, that's why I'm
like
a professional.
It.
Don't try this at home. 517-483-4893. 517-483-4893. You can get that guy on the phone. Craig Stiles from Ameriprise. Always appreciate your insights. Take a deep breath, everybody. We'll do this together. Thank you, sir.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Steve. You have a great one.
We'll see you next time around. Craig Stiles, everybody. It is time to take a quick break. We'll top out this hour and get ready for the next after this.
It's a new day with winning every day, plus some of the best entertainment in Michigan. Luke Bryan, Kid Rock, Keith Urban, Miranda Lambert, and so much more. Go to www.SoaringEagleCasino.com for all the details.
The Tigers open up a 3-game series with Boston tonight, a team that some think can win the American League pennant. People will say this should be a heck of a measuring stick for Detroit. That term gets overused a lot in sports, and quite honestly, it's insulting. The Tigers are pros, too. They get paid. They've beaten some of the same teams as the Red Sox. In fact, the Tigers have done better against Houston and the Mariners than Boston has. So don't automatically think the Tigers have no shot starting tonight. Sure, the Red Sox won 2 of 3 at Fenway Park earlier in May, even though the Tigers averaged 7 runs a game. The Tigers' pitching and overall team is completely different now, and they've won 11 of their last 13 at home. I doubt the Red Sox are looking past Detroit, so why should we assume the worst as the Tigers prepare?